With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Siakam the slam!
Well, you mentioned Kyle, so may as well pivot to Kyle Lowry. Tell me, how is he a unique teammate from all the people that you've encountered in your illustrious NBA career? 16 years, by the way. That's hella impressive, by the way.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Thank you. He is as pro player as any player can get. Like, he is for his guys. That's on and off the floor. That's game day, practice day. That is whatever. But he has such a pulse, like such a feel of the pulse of the game. And that's why his value is also one of those guys who's not always going to be in numbers. And we talk about all the things with like him taking charges and his plus minus and the deflection and all those things. Those things come from him just feeling what's needed in the time. He knows when to get guys shots. He knows how to spread the wealth around so he can come back to his main guy to make sure double teams are coming. He understands so much, and he's encouraging to his players. He knows when to get on their ass if he has to. Like, he knows, he understands, and he can receive it also. I remember numerous times of me walking up to him to a timeout and telling him to be him, like to come on. Not in a disrespectful way anyway, but just reminding him, like, you know, like, you're an all-star point guard, too. I know you're deferring and you're trying to do all these things, but we need you to be yourself, too. And it was the head nod. I got you. There was never no fight back over that. There was never no who you think you are talking to me like that type of thing. And that's important as a leader, because the leaders are leaders. The greatest leaders are the greatest servants. I'm a firm believer in that.
What kind of leader is Kyle, then?
Outstanding. We're talking about a guy who... Well, it's a lot of unseen things, but we're talking about a guy who's working
That's
on
why
his
I brought
body
you here, man. I want you to see it for us.
He's a guy who's working on his body and his craft all the time. Yeah. I went with him numerous times. We're talking like us getting up at 6 to be at Pilates classes before and getting shots up before even getting the real work of practice in. He is the type of guy that makes sure he'll stay and shoot with a guy or tell a guy to come shoot with him before practice that's going through a little low. Like Scotty, he would have Scotty with him in the gym. Not trying to tell him how to change his game, just being in the gym with him. Like, it's just enough. We're going to go through this workout. I'm not going to tell you this is wrong, that's wrong. We're just going to get the work in. Just to remind you that this is the main thing and to keep the main thing the main thing.
How long have you known Kyle?
We didn't have a real relationship before I got to Toronto. Yeah. We clicked when I got there, but like we had it in passing. Like obviously I had played against him a few times and things like that. We knew of each other, but like our friendship didn't start till we were in Toronto.
What was your perception heading into Toronto of the Groat?
That he was a pit bull.
Yeah.
Like that he was going to do anything he could do to help his team win the game. Like that was his reputation from day one. And then he was going to flop a little bit sometimes. But we knew that already. So you knew he was taking charges and you knew he was going to bait you. But yeah.
You play to win the game. You play to win the game, right?
You play to win the game.
Like, do you remember the first time you met him? Like with the Raptors, I mean. Like the first time like, hey, man, CJ, Kyle, how you guys doing? That kind of thing?
Honestly, really, it was media day because I got to Toronto late my first year just because I had some family stuff that happened right before. So I got there late, but just that media day and this and it's good at that time though because I have a reputation also of who I am as a player and what I bring to the table and I was feeling a need, so you know I had a track record of being able to do this. It wasn't like I was a young player that we were taking a chance on kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's easier with veteran guys stepping in front of each other. There's a respect already there. So it was easy for us to click on that point because I know you have to be a worker to do what you're doing and to be who you are and to be in the league for this long. So there's a base level of respect that's so easy.
Have there been occasions, like specifically, where you saw Kyle's leadership shine through? He's able to take over games like we had talked about. We've seen it so many times throughout his time with the Raptors and even with Miami too. When he's got to turn up a little bit and look for his own offense, he can do it. But it seems like his leadership was on and off the floor. Were there occasions where you saw him do something, maybe with a teammate? You mentioned pulling players aside, that kind of a thing. Anything stick out to you?
I mean, just his approach to how he treated everybody and how he was with the young guys and how he was with the people and the things he did in the community, the things like he was just, he went as hard on the floor and off the floor and everything that he did, if that makes the most. I think like it was such a, it was the same person in all those rooms. So the same person that dives on the floor and takes hits on the floor, that's the way his approach was to everything. No, let's try to win the game. Like, yeah, if we're going to do something for the community, let's try to do it the best we can. If we're going to have a team dinner, let's make sure that we get some out of it and everybody gets there, make sure everybody's there and on time, and that we can, you know, build this fellowship, build this brothership, brotherhood, I'm sorry. But he just, he's a pit bull. Like I said, like that's his approach on everything. Like, and it's refreshing to see that in every room. But like a guy like him, just the way he plays the game is almost enough though.
Yeah.
He does any and everything. Like, he's felt no matter what. If he's 1 for 13, he's still felt in the game. And there's a lot of people that we can't say that about.
Sure. And that, again, it speaks to his authenticity as a person, right? Same person on and off the floor, whether he's good, whether he's bad. He knows who he is and he knows what he offers. And when we talked about Fred VanVleet last episode, you had said that it's easy for Fred to, you know, defer when he needs to, contract year, when there's so much at stake for him personally, his family. Kyle always talks about generational wealth. You can do all that stuff when you are comfortable with who you are, when you know yourself. And it seems like Kyle, you know, over time, he's really found who he is as a person and who he wants the imagery of, you know, his NBA peers, what he wants people to think about him. And it seems like everyone, like when it comes to his teammates, everyone kind of likes Kyle.
Yeah, I haven't met anybody that didn't like him, that played with him. Like, I haven't got a story. I know some guys that have played against him that don't like him, but it's strictly because he, what happened on the floor. Like, he's trying to win the game. And that gets thrown away once you're in front of a guy, you know what I mean? Most times. So some of it doesn't, but like most times. But it's such a genuine approach to everything.
Yeah. Was the Kyle and DeMar bromance as great as we all think it was?
It is. It is. It's exactly like in every way that you think it is. It's exactly that. It's this. Like, those guys are. It's like it's great to see, because you don't see it. Like, you know, guys that are really good friends. Like so, like they make Pascal and Yach look like distant cousins. Like, if that's the best way to put it. That's the best analogy I could think of for that.
Yeah. You mentioned doing Pilates with Kyle, and one of the ongoing talking points, aside from last season, because he had other things going on in Miami with some of his personal matters, and so that's a separate thing. But even when he was in Toronto, I remember, and it's been going on for years, people talking about his weight and saying that he's too thick, and that, you know, the skinny Lowry season, I think that was 2016, where he had his, arguably his best year, although I still think that 2019-20 was his best NBA season. But I mean, where do you stand on someone like Kyle and the weight conversation? Because he is a unique build, and I think that does contribute to I guess some of the opinions that people have about him, you know.
First of all, the first thing is body types are different. We know this.
Yeah.
Like, and when you're standing in a place where most of the body types are the same and you have a different one, this becomes a thing. And the funniest thing about it, my wife takes up for him more than anybody. She's like, I've seen Kyle. If you see Kyle in person, he is not fat. She's like, he has a big butt, which is true. He does. He has a big butt.
It does not lie.
That's the thing that everybody talks about.
Yeah.
that he has a big butt, but like his stature, he's built differently, but he's not fat by any means. And I know the work, I've seen the work done, and they always talk about skinny Kyle that one year. And that's sad because that was the year he made the biggest change to his body, because he was bigger before then. He made the biggest change. And you see that change his career also. He went to another level with that change. But I don't think if he is at his height and the way he plays, if he was smaller, he would not be able to be the Kyle Lowry he is. His body wouldn't have been able to withstand it.
Yeah.
His mentality, who he is, the way he plays, his career would have been shorter. It would have went away. And at the same time, like, we can't trust the trolls. Like, they're just looking for something to say. Like, we're talking about people that are just waiting for anything abnormal out of the normal to attack. I got called fat my second year in Toronto, and I was 6'6", 225 pounds, like 5% body fat. Yes.
Wow.
And I got called fat at 25 pounds, 5-6% body fat. Started the year, I got called fat. And I'm not.
Who was that person? Who was that person?
That was just numerous people. Like, it was just a thing. Like, because you're not built like everybody else. Like, and these are also the same people that if they walked up on you, they'd be intimidated. So, like, you know what I mean? So that dude is a world-class athlete, proven. That's stamped.
Yeah.
And like, I don't, it shouldn't be talked about in that manner. Like, I know it's jokes, but a lot of it is, but some of it is taken serious. And when it rolls into a reason for losing a game or the team not being as good as it could be, that is not the reason. I was on a team with him, and I never felt like we lost the game because he was out of shape.
Yeah.
Let's put it like that. I never felt like that was the reason why we didn't do anything.
Ridiculous conversation. But I think because you have some experience, obviously, playing alongside Kyle, maybe you could offer a bit of fodder to it. But I never agreed with it, especially because, like, he's been an all-star multiple times while people said that he was, quote-unquote, overweight. Mm-hmm. So, like, what are we talking about? I think it does take some players time to understand what makes their body sing, like what's going to make them the most effective version of themselves. And that's not going to always be the same. The point that you made about him having to be a little bit stronger because of the hits he takes is sound. And I think Fred's actually talked about this a little bit too. He plays a very aggressive style of basketball. Yeah. And last season, it took a toll on him. Hopefully he doesn't have to take on that kind of load again, but he does fall a lot. And you got to be strong.
You see the type of work he did this past summer to prepare himself for that.
Yeah.
Like, he went to Mr. Do It Moving, who's like a great NBA trainer now, who's proven a lot of guys, making them, changing their durability, changing the way they move, helping their process, and giving them tools that have helped them play a long, successful season. Yeah. You see it with guys all throughout their careers, though. Guys change positions because of the way the game changed. I remember going small before the whole league went small, and I was guarding Derek Favors, Zach Randolph, Louis Scola's, Dirk Nowitzki's, Kevin Garnett's. So I got bigger because of that, and I hated it. My body did not like it. Like, it was I got injured more because of that than actually taking the beating.
No kidding.
And there's just so many, you got to figure it out. Like, it's just like, it's a job, and I have to respect that, and I have to try to put myself in the best position to do that job well. But like, it's just things you have to go through and learn. And young guys definitely have to learn it faster now, because the game is not allowing them time, and the media is not allowing them time. And like, we're going to talk about that. Zion is being killed over it. We don't know the whole story.
No.
And that's also a thing too. I can't blame you for making an observation all based off all the information you have. That's the only information you have, like as a fan or something. So you're looking for something to say, and that's all I have. So I have to say what I know, I get that. And that's why we're here. I'm not media. That's why I'm here, to say what I'm saying.
Okay. We got to talk Shea, who's slowly becoming the new Captain Canada. Okay. Because this man is on a run, a heater that is unprecedented. A couple of stats for the people. I'm not going to give you too many because it's hard to digest them over audio, but overall, he is amongst the league's best in drives, field goals made in drives. He is one of the best in terms of isolation possessions, so how many possessions he gets per game. He has more point paints per touch than Joel Embiid. That's not a slight at Joel Embiid. That just means Shea is that good. Shea has 10 30-point games this season. He has 18 two-point attempts per game, 18. And he's making 56% of them. Final stat, first player to average 32 points per game and shoot 54% from the field through the first 14 games of a season since Michael Jordan in 1988-89. An unprecedented like level of play right now. And yesterday we watched him hit a game winner against Washington Wizards. And I'm not even sure if his IG post or his play is better, because he posted this afterwards. He's saying, because I'm in DC, just call me Himmy Carter, as in Jimmy Carter, because he's always calling himself him. And some guys do it and it's not really right, but he really does seem like he's becoming him.
Yeah, I you can't deny it. But part of becoming him is acknowledging it.
Yeah, that's a
like if I don't, right? if I don't ever say that I'm him, why would anybody else believe it? Or why would I believe it if I'm not actually living it out, going through it? But he's proving it. That guy is special. He creates space so well. He has such a great pace to his game. Don't speed him up. He's always able, which allows him to make these reads, and he's patient. Obviously, we know by the numbers, he finishes so well, floaters at the rim. But his mid-range stuff is so good. And he's making threes when it's available, too. That's the other thing. It's not like he can't do it. That was one of the things you as he was growing, you were wondering, because a little bit of his mechanics, if he was going to be fluid with as a ball handler shooting threes like that. But he's making step back threes when it comes down. This isn't the first game winner we've seen him make. He's got a record. He's got a reputation of doing this too in certain positions.
Sure.
But he's special, man, and that confidence, and he's efficient. He's not just jacking up everything. He's not just like that's another thing that's crazy, because it's not like he's around. This is not a shot at those guys, but it's not like he's around a bunch of other top tier guys. He's a bunch of around the guys that are growing into who they're going to be. And there's some really talented guys on that team that are going to grow into being special and serviceable NBA players. But he is the only one of that type of caliber there, meaning defenses have a chance to focus on him.
Sure.
There's not another guy to take some of that load off, and he's still doing this at this efficient rate.
Hmm. What were your impressions of him when you played against him? There wasn't too many crossover seasons, but there were a couple for sure. Do you recall what it was like playing against him? Did you see like these kinds of glimpses of superstardom from him?
So in all honesty, no. I thought he was talented. I thought he was going to be a good player in our league. Obviously, I thought he was going to be here. I thought he was going to have a career. I did not see Himmy Carter. I did not. But he's in L.A. in the beginning, right? Coming off the bench. He's behind Chris Paul for a second. But this is the thing also, like, the change of scenery did this for him. That space in Oklahoma City did this for him. It gave him that room to expand and to see, oh, okay, maybe I can try to add this and I can do this and I can do this. And they gave him. And it's a kudos to OKC too for recognizing it and pushing him some too. But he took it and ran with it. you know what I mean? He's amazing.
What facets of his game make him such an unbelievably tough isolation player?
I really believe it's the pace and the patience.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's got a good handle. He's a little herky jerky. He's got a lot of stop and go to him, but like that pace and patience allows him to see the defense's mistakes or like wait out their mistakes. Like he'll force you into an angle and he's able to be at such as like there's guys sometimes that are so slow they're hard to guard, because it's almost sometimes you get ahead of him and he's able to change directions and do things that'll keep you off balance. And then that stop and go is always hard to guard because you're off balance. Like it's not always speed, it's change of pace. It's being able to go from slow to fast or slow to slower or fast to fast. It's not always just being fast. Like Delano is super fast right now. The second he understands how to go from slow to fast or fast to medium and things, then it's really hard to guard.
He has so many counters. And is that contributing to the pace that you're talking about? Because he knows that he has like 15,000 different moves he can do at any given point, that he's never going to be rushed. He knows his pace and he's going to be doing the pace that he wants to. And that pace is like another 11,000. He has so many different ones.
Yeah. I think like we talk about having stuff in your bag, right? Having a bag in the game. I think
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I think it matters how many things you have in a bag if you pull out 12 at one time all the time. You know what I mean? Like, sure. If you do a bunch of combos in a row, you never get to see what's – you're just doing moves. And, like, eventually defense is just back up and, like, let you tire yourself out. I think the fact that he has all these things in his bag, but he's willing to just literally go right and go by you,
yeah,
if it's what you give him, makes him the most dangerous. And that's just, like I said, the being able to have that pace and patience to be able to just make reads and make it simple. But if you want to make this hard, then we can dance. Like, that's, yeah, the thing. Like, and he's got good feet. And he understands how to create space.
Man, when he has the ball and he has a head of steam, like, it's zoom, zoom to the rim.
Mm-hmm.
He can do that if he wants
to. And he's long. And so his steps don't always have to be perfect to take off and still be at the rim. He can,
yeah,
he can stretch out. He can slide and skate by guys too, and that's the thing that makes it so interesting. It almost looks too easy sometimes too, some of the stuff he does
make it look easy, but it is anything but
especially what he's doing.
Yeah. Fan questions, everyone, send in your questions to #AskFresco. We'll do some with each episode as we go on towards the season. We got a couple of good ones here. Let's go down the list, CJ, starting with @AgentPSB007. Some of these names are going to give me a heart attack. Anyways, how would you describe Kawhi Leonard as a teammate for the approximate half season you guys spent together? Obviously, that was in Toronto, and then unfortunately, or maybe not, maybe fortunately, I don't know. You're the one who's going to decide if it was a good or bad thing that you were traded.
Control what you can control, right? So that's, yeah, what I'll say about that. But as far as with Kawhi, one thing I'll say, he talks way more than you think.
Yeah.
Jokes. Laughs. Like, there was a clip from when I was there in the beginning of that season, and me and him were joking on the bench, and I remember it getting tweeted out, and people were like, CJ's making Kawhi laugh, like it was like this phenomenon, like it was like a wonder. And I was like, no, like, he's like that all the time with us.
Yeah.
But two, like, he's a phenomenal basketball player. Like, to play with guys of that caliber, especially the guys that do what I do, is always great. No doubt, I wish I would have got more time on the floor with him and more chances to do those things with him and to grow with that. Yes, but like watching him do what he does on both ends of the floor and what he does for a team and what he's willing to do for a team and take on the challenges and things, it's like, it's a reason why those guys won that championship.
Yeah. What about his work ethic? Was there anything that caught your eye about that? Or was it just, this guy is just a worker?
He's just a worker. And his approach is very much like his game is steady, slow. I'm gonna come in, I got my routine, I'm gonna do it. And there are days he might not say a word, don't get me wrong, but he was there. Like, yeah, he gets it all done. He takes care of himself. He's not obviously not afraid to speak up about certain things and to be done when it's time to speak, but he's just a worker. Like, and he's consistent with that, which bleeds into him being consistent on game day.
I hope things work out for him.
Yeah,
the knee things that are going on, it sucks, man.
Yeah.
Really sucks. Okay. @AC_Clark. Can you ask CJ, was his thumb really broken when he scored 52 versus Carter HS? So you're going to have to give a bit of a backstory on this one, because I think a lot of people are going to be very confused, but go ahead.
So the backstory is even crazier than you think. That guy I've known since second grade.
Okay.
I didn't know that he was the one that asked you that story.
Yeah.
So we grew up literally on the same street. He's asking this because I used to kick his tail a lot.
You can say it. You can say kick his ass.
Yeah, I know. But he's also saying he's a hater. He's asking that to be. But yes, I tore a ligament in my hand during my senior year of high school. Found out that I needed surgery to fix it, but the surgery would have made me miss the rest of my senior year. I would have missed being a McDonald's All-American and all the stuff that I was able to do. And I didn't want to go out of high school not playing basketball. I wanted to finish I wanted to have my senior year. I wanted to be a kid. I wanted to have fun. I wanted to play basketball with my friends. And I did some things to help strengthen my hand to see if I could manage without getting a surgery. We started taping it. And I just kind of mind over matter type thing. Like a Mamba mentality, that thing, like early. And I just kept it rolling. Then eventually I stopped feeling it. It has not been fixed to this day.
Damn. Are you going to fix it?
No, I don't need. But yes, AC, I am who you think I am still to this day.
Still him. At least when it comes to AC.
Yeah, he knows that.
At Pascal Fan Club, friend of the program, good guy on Twitter. What record do you think the 2018 Bench Mob would have if you had your own team?
Oh, that's a good question. I've never even thought about that. You just knocked me over the head. I think we'd be really good though. But like, who's our bench? Like,
that's true.
Like,
talk about depth. We need some depth here.
But I think the only thing I will say, at that time, we're a really good team, and we probably grow even more because we're playing minutes like that. But we don't have, maybe somebody develops into like that go-to closer type guy. None of us are those guys at that time. Or that guy at that time. You know what I mean? So it's hard for me to say that type of thing. I think we're really good. I think we're a playoff team for sure.
47 wins?
Yeah. I think we proved that because we weren't just playing against benches. People were taking their starters out early so they could be in the game when we came in the game.
Yeah.
So I'm really confident in that unit. There's no saying how much better we could be if all of us are playing 34 minutes a night, because that's growth that comes with minutes, especially with those younger guys. I'm pretty much who I am at that time, but there's still a rhythm that comes with playing that many minutes.
A follow-up question from, again, Pascal Fan Club. When did you first see star potential in Fred and Pascal? You kind of talked a little bit about this, but nice little concise answer for the people.
Yeah, they always had traits of that. They had the building blocks, which is willing to learn, willing to work, hungry. Pascal, obviously, like we talk about the type in Toronto, length, athleticism, good feet, wanting to be that. And then Fred has just, there's something in here that a lot of guys don't have that comes with his story, his route, like undrafted. And we're not even going to get into the personal things that happened to him like coming up too. Obviously, we don't need to get into that, but he's built to be who he was challenged early so he could come out who he is. He was built for this. He's one of those guys literally built to be who he is.
Kyle talked about this after the Miami game, saying that his story is going to be end up being one of the best stories in NBA history.
It's a 30 for 30.
Yeah,
for sure. It has to be, right? Like, sure. if that's what the thing is still at that time, like he's documentary worthy.
Like, he speaks so well too. He's so cool. He'd make it really captivating too. When are we going to get him on the pod, man?
Yeah, 1000%. I got he's giving me the okay. Oh, that's a phone call away. That's my guy.
Okay. We're going to make that happen real soon. Thoughts? Yeah. Thoughts on Nick Nurse playing his starters heavy minutes. That's more of a philosophical question. That's from @AndreaStolentino. I mean, we know we need depth, right? You just mentioned your bench mob would need some depth. Who's coming off the bench for you guys? But it is, in the end, it does typically come down to a certain core of players, you know, the mano a mano game 6, game 7, you know, your five guys that you're going to be rolling with. And Gary Trent Jr. has said recently, actually, he's like, we'll take our five against any five in the NBA. Because they got that trust in their abilities. But how do you think that kind of wear and tear can impact the team going forward? And just like the idea of playing your starters consistently, you know, 37 plus.
I mean, it's tough. Like, I've never been a head coach in that position before, but it's definitely tough. But it's also, you know, which is why we talked about earlier that this time and these guys with injuries, this is so important. Because maybe this time can lead us to get those guys down to 32, 34. Hmm. And we can continue to grow and those guys can prove themselves to be able to give that. But I think it comes down to some trust things too.
Yeah.
Just young guys that come in after them that are still trying to prove themselves and we're trying to win games. And it comes down to me having the utmost confidence in the five, that top five. They're really, really good. I mean, and we say you play to win the game. And the way you win the game is to put the best five players on the court all as much as you can.
That's it, man. That's like, what it comes down to.
There's no other answer if we're getting down to it. And that's – it's like people are upset about the thing that KD said when he called – when he named the players. Like, and it's not a shot at those guys. He's just saying this group together is not championship.
Yeah.
They're good – those are good players, great players that will help teams, but this group – together is not a championship team. There's nothing wrong with him saying that.
And I would hope those players also know. It doesn't mean that like everyone has a role in the NBA. And those guys should know at this point. I mean, you got Joe Harris, you got Nick Claxton. He mentioned someone else, but you should know if you're Joe Harris and Nick Claxton that no, right? We are not the the stars on the team, but we do fill a role that is very important. And, you know, not having bench depth, not having shooters, not having players who can move without the ball, who can accept their roles and be sound defensively. Those are reasons why teams don't win playoff series, don't win championships.
And people are saying, well, maybe if he didn't say the names, it wouldn't be as bad. So if
that's a bad part, actually. That's a bad part.
No, but think about it. If I say these guys I'm with aren't championship caliber, who am I talking about?
I know, but it's just like you're putting so much focus on the names. Like now you're just like you're putting –
those are the guys playing the majority of the minutes.
Yeah.
These are the group of guys I'm on the floor with. Like, these are the guys. I'm going to name guys that aren't playing. You know what I mean? Like,
I know. And it's just the optics, man.
No, I get it. But that's the other thing. When you read the whole thing, the transcript, and you understand, like, you go through the whole thing, he also says things like, my legacy is not going to be based off. He's getting to a point. He's getting to a point of saying the things that I enjoy playing with these guys and we're playing hard and we're trying to win games, but we're, as long as we, like I said this before, as long as we exhaust all of our potential as a unit, I can live with losing because we gave it everything we had. Like that's what he's trying to get to. Like my legacy is based off me helping these guys when I'm gone. And when Claxton is in his year 8 and he's almost an all-star because of the things he learned from me because of this time. Like this is what this is about. And I think we're so caught up in how I would have felt if he said my name. Well, the guy that's tweeting about KD not saying his name is not an NBA player. So, and he's not in the locker room with KD every day. And he doesn't know that it comes from love. Like, there's a relationship built. There's trust. He's not trying to embarrass them.
You're right. And I tweeted something about this very similar, because if you do read the full article, he talked about what he learned from his Achilles injury, how much more he values basketball and how he's not going to be looking at, you know, whatever happens now, it's not going to be impacting how he looks at his NBA legacy. He is more focused on how his peers are going to be viewing him. And by all accounts, I'm pretty sure Joe Harris, Nick Claxton, so forth, they like playing with KD, right? He's a good dude, it seems like. And he's embracing this like new phase of his NBA career, right? He's got a couple of championships. Anyone who says that he isn't one of the greatest players in NBA history, give your head a shake, right? And he's just comfortable. He's content with with himself. Like, and that's actually a skill. It's in itself is to be able to be content because you are at like one, you're at peace.
Why does everybody else get to tell him how he should feel about his legacy? You know what I mean? That's one of the things. And I know it's part of the sport. We discussed the greatest of all time and the list. And he should have done this. He shouldn't have left. He should have stayed. He did this, whatever, whatever. But why when he says how he feels about his legacy, there's an uproar? He's the person doing it.
Yeah.
He's the person who's actually put in the work and time. And speaking of those other guys, Joe Harris and O'Neal, those guys are better players on the floor with KD.
Yeah.
Like, their job is made easier. Hmm. Like, if I would love to play with KD if I'm being the type of person, like, I'm not – Joe Harris is a tremendous shooter. I'm not comparing myself to him. I'm saying – but in that role, I would love to be that guy.
Yeah. Sorry, I forgot to mention the name Royce O'Neal. That was another person that was another person who's again accepts his role, knows his role, has impactful at his role, and has a necessary role on a winning team.
Yeah, and he's playing well. He's not playing bad.
Yeah.
He's not playing bad there. I've watched some games. He's playing well there. It wasn't a shot at him saying he's playing bad. He's just saying this group as a whole.
Yeah.
And this is a guy who's been on a championship team who should be able to say that this isn't it right now.
He's seen it. He knows. Next question, at Tim underscore C10. Does media make too much of a big deal from a player standpoint of playing in Canada versus what actual NBA players think? So that was kind of a okay.
I think so. Mm-hmm. Like I when I got there, like I couldn't believe. First of all, it's not even like they make it seem like you're going to
Antarctica.
Like
you're going to Greenland. Enjoy.
Like you're literally, I know people that drive from Cleveland. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not, there's still McDonald's and Taco Bell and all that Popeyes. It's still American. It's not like it's foreign. It's just that line happens to be in another country, but it's not, I'm not far away. The biggest thing is, if we can get into the whole thing, it started because of the tax difference, the money. Yeah. That was what started the uproar. It was because it started with baseball, I believe, in hockey back in the day. They started changing tax rules and things like that because guys didn't want to come because they were going to lose a certain amount of money because of the tax differences. And it just rolled into guys don't want to go there because it's in Canada. It's never like dug into.
Sure.
And they've done things to help guys with that. They've done things to help guys with they made exceptions in laws to help guys with that tax break and all those things like that. But as far as like Toronto, the city and Canada, the place, I loved playing there. I thought the energy I got from there is nothing like any other place I was. There's nothing like having a country behind a team.
Mm.
Nothing like that. It's an entire country. This is not a city or a state, because sometimes you don't even get the whole state because there's multiple teams. Like Texas doesn't get the whole state.
Yeah.
There's multiple. LA, California doesn't get the whole state. They got a city. So we're talking about a country, a big one at that.
Next question from at Ogugwa Shuda.
I like it.
What? Yeah. Well, you might not like this question, though. What do you think was the reason y'all could never get past the Cavs in the playoffs?
Number 23.
Number 23? Is it that simple? Number 23.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that simple. We also like to disrespect the team, too. Those are good guys on that team that compliment number 23. Yeah. I don't know why I'm not saying his name, LeBron James. Like, but I think to a franchise like that, that's in that type of situation, he becomes villainized almost, which you understand. So you just want to know, like, what? It can't be that good. It can't be like he is really, really good. He creates a lot of mismatch problems. Yes, a team that is presented to him to make his job easier, which he's already outstanding at. He's got a Kevin Love on that team. J.R. Smith on that team goes down in history as one of the best three-point shooters of all time. He's got guys that are defensive-minded, that accept the role. Shannon Frye, who's shooting the ball exceptionally well during this time, making mismatches.
Oh, he was so annoying. Bigs. Sorry, exactly. He was so annoying.
Like, think about this team and how those other guys are playing as a consequence of what LeBron brings to the floor.
Mm.
Like, their level is taken up a notch, too, because of the attention that has to be paid to a 6'9", 200 and God knows what pound small forward with a skill set like that.
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
After he left the Eastern Conference in his first season in L.A., he had said something to the effect when he was asked about this. He's like, it seems like once I leave the conference, everyone thinks they got a chance in the East. And I was like, man, shut up. I mean, you're right, but shut up, okay?
Up. It's a hard thing, though, because, like, as a player, as your competitive nature, you don't want to – like, I'm not bowing down to it, but I'm just being honest about it now. And it's easier to be honest now sitting at home in this chair holding a microphone. It's the same reason why my Utah teams I was on didn't get past the Lakers. Like, Kobe Bryant was on that team. Those guys are that special. And I hate that as a whole we take away from other guys' careers for running into special players. We diminished Karl Malone and John Stockton. We diminished Charles Barkley. We diminished so many guys, Tracy McGrady's and guys that are so great that just happened to run into guys who had a little bit more or who had a little bit better team, who the talent might have been equal. Like Tracy McGrady was as good as anybody.
His heyday was unreal.
The team wasn't always, though. No disrespect to those guys, comparative to Dwight Howard runs into the Lakers. The run Dwight Howard is on is one of the greatest runs of all time for the big man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we just read his stats out loud, you would say, oh, my God, he's a Hall of Famer. You wouldn't say, oh, that's Dwight Howard. Like, there are people get about Dwight. I don't know why. Maybe it's because the latter parts and some of the stuff that went on.
But, yeah, the back issues he's had, right?
Yeah, but still, Timbers like, really he
trailed off.
Him and Orlando just alone is a Hall of Fame career.
I agree. Good people, send in your questions. Let us know what you think about the show. And if you got questions for CJ, hashtag Ask Fresco, right? We know the deal. CJ,
yes, sir.
That's the episode. You have fun?
My man, it is great. It is a pleasure. I love
beautiful.
It.
Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Fantastic. Some parts are going to appear just on YouTube, just so you guys know. So while you might hear some of this on the podcast platform, other parts, looking more analytically at the Raptors, video breakdowns, things of that nature, you will only find on YouTube. So go watch on there too. And also just look at our faces, right? We're good people. Yeah. We're fun to look at.
And let's put this out there, since this is K to me. How would you guys feel about us picking a game or so of us going live during the game on Instagram? And let's talk it during the game, making comments and listening to you guys' comments and like answering stuff. I know we can live tweet, we can live Instagram, whatever it is. Like let's play with this a little bit more and see how much engagement we can get.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Out of that.
Ooh, playtime. Yeah. Love some playtime.
Basketball's fun, right? Yeah, let's have fun with it.
We will be back very soon. Yes, Strictly sir. Hoops with CJ Miles. Enjoy yourselves, everyone. CJ, final
stay
words?
Safe, man, y'all stay safe out here. Be blessed.
No question. Thanks, everyone. We'll talk soon.